Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMille back with you with The Positive Mind. After a very long hiatus of regular programming, well, we've been in the fundraising mood for so long. It amazes me. But we are here because we were trying to save this station and keep it alive, and alive it is. It's still here. It is amazing. And as a result of it, there's had to be a lot of changes. And changes are inevitable when you're trying to make something push its way through, survive, or flourish. Change, you know, change is something that people don't like. Almost everything in nature resists change. It wants to stay the way it is. You know, a flower wants to open the way the flower wants to open. It doesn't want to have anybody else opening it different. It doesn't change is something that we don't welcome too easily. It's a funny thing, too, because organically, the human body is built on cells that must change. You see, every cell in the human body is either growing or it's dying. It's not never staying the same. So nothing truly stays the same. We resist the change anyway. So today I'm going to explore the nature of change with you. As you can see, a lot of change has taken place over at WBAL. Let's talk about that. We've lost some of the best people of WBAI because the station couldn't keep itself going. We don't have the kind of funds. Halliburton is not funding WBAI, I'm sorry. And we don't have the kind of money that would have been able to keep us going for so long with our expensive antenna that we have. But they're working. BAI in Pacifica is working. We've even got a new guy on board, Andrew Phillips, who I've known for many years. Brilliant man, who's working to keep this thing alive and vibrant for you. And of course I'm here. Of course I'm here. And Gary Null is still here. And we have a number of other people who are still going to be here. Because you cherish us and we cherish you. And they're going to be bringing you some exciting stuff from across the country. We're going to hear some new programming from different people around the country. Whether it's all fair, whether it worked in such a way as to not hurt people, no, people were hurt. There are people who are dependent on this, on their jobs here at WBAI, but, you know, if the place closed, it would have been about the same. So here we are with a new, a new station. It's different. And I want to understand why, whenever anything is new, I and everybody else resists it. So let's talk about change first. First, there are two very important things to know about change. One is called the transition, and the other thing is called change. Change is the physical happening itself. It's the thing that takes place. Transition is the psychological state of mind. Change is situational. The new site, the new boss, the new something. Change is physical, like moving from California to Arizona. But the transition is a psychological process that people go through to come to in terms with the new situation. This takes time. It takes time to go through change. It doesn't happen automatically. You know, it just doesn't shift all at once. The brain has to adapt. In a transition, there is a new ending. When you move from one thing to the other, you have to have an ending point. For a person to successfully make a change, they have to leave the past. And in a transition, you have to arrive at a new place. So how do you go from one place where you were to the new place that you want to be? This is the art of transition. Transition has a period of a neutral zone. The psychological period of transition is much slower than the physical. When you move to a new neighborhood, the physical change usually occurs fast. But the inward psychological transition happens much more slowly. Just think about the fact that maybe you are one of those people whose family moved, and your family moves and you have to go to a new school. Well, it's a new school. What's so simple? What's so hard, right? But it's traumatic to many people because there's a lot of adjustment to take place psychologically. Now, even here at the station, even as we listen, we watch the transition here, there's a piece of us that has to hold on to the past. And there's another piece of us that, you know, is fighting, saying, oh, the past was good, and therefore we have to have the past be the present. But there's somebody saying, no, the past is gone. Now deal with the new present. How do you integrate your mind so that this becomes the new present, so that you could positively work with whatever the present is for a new future? This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. Unless the transition, the psychological transition, takes place, the change never works. It doesn't work. It kind of falls down. So how do you encourage people to in some way go through the transitions? That's the job of the changers. Now, unfortunately, many changers are not very good at that. What they do is they say, oh, here's the fact, everything has changed and you have no adjustment period. There's no consideration of you because we don't know how to help you go through transition. We are powerless. So the only thing we think we could do is take away what you thought you had and have you deal with it. Well, unfortunately, that's the way people do things. Not my way, but it's the way people do things. It's because they're powerless. Why do people use such power to cut things and not allow anybody any voice? Because sometimes the person who is responding to the changes takes on these desperate voices of, oh, no, don't change anything, don't change anything, don't change anything. Well, that's the problem. See, there are two kinds of changes. There's the change that you do, and there's the change that is foisted upon you. Those two changes now. So do you like change? If you decide that you're going to make a change, if you plan the change, and you decide to do a change, you like that. Because your transition is already set up in your mind. You see, in your mind, you've already transitioned to the new place. Therefore, when you make the change, like let's say you're going to get a new car, you've already thought about the car. You've already considered the car. Then you let go of your old car. It's easy to let it go. You don't go crying about your old car. You say, I'm ready. I've made this change. But if somebody takes your car away or they steal your car, you can have a heartbroken attachment to it because it happened to you. So change is significant when you do it as opposed to when it's done to you. It's very important to determine this. Now, of course, in this neutral zone of transition, there's a time for creativity, renewal, development. The individual that can capitalize on the time of transition will emerge with a new sense of growth. The person who looks at a transition, who looks at a change, and says, all right, here are all the factors, here come the change, how am I going to grow from this? How am I going to make this a better thing for me? Or how am I going to make it be good for me? How am I going to be okay in the middle of this? That's where we learn. The ending. You can only make a new beginning if you first make an ending to something else and spend more time in the neutral zone. However, most people try to start with the new beginning without finishing the old beginning. They fail to pay the old. They fail to pay important attention to the endings and the existence of the neutral zone, this place in between the two. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind here on WBAI. Yes, 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 the wonderful WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial here in New York City with you Tuesdays and Wednesdays at 1 p.m. And we want to talk about change. We want to talk about some of the aspects of change in the studio with me. Hey, Julian. Didn't even get a chance to say hello to you. Hey, cuz.
Hey.
Hey. Change. Yeah, you look at your life, you know, you are 20 years old. Every year is a change, right?
Definitely.
A big change. You know, as you get older, I think the change is, well, I would say that. Let me see if that's really true.
Do you think you get more resistant to change as you get older?
Some people do. Okay. Some people get more resistant. They get fixed in their way. Like, for example, if you have a physical disability of some kind and you find yourself creaky in the bones, you don't want things to change around you because you don't know if you're going to be able to adapt. So if you get creaky in the brain or creaky in the bones first.
Creaky, right?
But you could get creaky brain. Mm-hmm. Creaky brain is, I don't want anything to change. Leave everything the way it is.
Right, because it's dangerous. It's.
I look outside where I live and I look outside and they're building a building across the street. And, you know, oh, God, there goes a building taking away my skyline. But, yes, listen, that's creaky thinking. You know?
Creaky change.
Creaky change. Don't want change to take place. So I think that there is, I'm not sure, but I noticed in myself, I welcome the changes. I welcome year-to-year difference. I welcome changes in me. I welcome my new mind. You know, I'm fascinated by how I think now compared to the way I thought last year. I don't know if that makes me good or not, but I really, really enjoy the transitions I go through. Other people I know are like that. Most of the friends I hang out with, the people I like the most, they love going through change. The people I don't enjoy as much are the people who remain static. That doesn't make them bad. I mean, they just like to stay in one zone. They like to be in one place. But youth, or youth, that's from that movie.
Youth.
Youth has got change going on every minute. It's like it's radical. It's part of your life, isn't it?
Whether you want it or not, it's happening to you. So, or I guess, so okay. So as a youthful person, are you say we it's happening to us, or we're making it happen?
Both. Let's think about that for a minute. If somebody comes to you and says to you, "Okay, Julian, you're taking these classes, and we're now they've taken away the course that you're studying,"
right?
Okay, today you are, Julian, you're studying acting down at NYU. They have a curriculum for you. And this year you were really excited because you were going to be taking a method acting course, right? And they were going to do, and you took the introduction to method acting, okay, like yeah. that a lot. Now method acting 2 is going to be taught this year. And they come along and they say, "Well, we decided we'll throw that out of the curriculum because we don't like that anymore. Because people are getting sued for using method acting or something. So we're going to throw it out." And they come to you and they say to you, "Julian, I know you want to enroll in this, but we're taking away method acting too." Now, this is a shift in your life. You already invested a few months in studying the first one. You're 20 years old. This happens to you a lot. People make changes all the time. If they say to you, "You can't go in that doorway anymore, you got to go in another doorway, you can't get this way to school, you can't get this money that you could have gotten," how do you deal with the fact that they change something like the curriculum while you're going to school?
Okay, it's a change and I see where it takes me.
Because you are flexible. Because you can go anywhere. See? I mean, so you have plenty of room.
It makes me think a lot about the subway system. Okay, let's say all the time.
It's a perfect example. Go ahead.
So I get to, on a Saturday night, I'm with all my friends, and we're in a big group. We got like 9 people. We've been waiting around. Everybody's impatient. And we get finally to the train, and we have to take the G train. Everybody knows the G train if you're from New York. And the G train is late, and then it's not there, and you can't take it, so we have to get out and walk. And we get out and walk, and I've discovered places that I just would have never seen. I mean, like, we got out of the G train, and it was stalled for whatever reason, and here we are, these 9 people, going to this totally different way, and we see people I haven't seen in years, and I look up at the sky and see it for the first time because I don't look up a lot in Manhattan and see anything, you know?
So there's a lot of things that take place. But while you were down in that train with your 9 friends, your friends said to you, "Hey, this train is really miserable. It's not coming. One of you come up with the idea. Let's walk."
Let's
and
do
then
it.
The rest say, "Okay, let's do it." And it's that attitude. You see, that's the youthful attitude. That's the attitude that you have to your advantage because you can walk, because there's no issue about it, because you're not creaky old boned. You know, you can still do it.
No creaky bones.
And even if you had creaky bones, you may say that to yourself. Okay, it's time for me to get out of this subway and move on and see what life is like.
Right.
This is Armand DeMille with Julian Joiello. We're here with The Positive Mind. We're talking about change and the complexity of change. There's a change that you make. And then there are changes that are made on you. For example, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, divorce, separation. Nobody likes being left. Nobody likes it. You don't like it. You don't want to be the one who is left behind. So usually when couples break up, they come to me for therapy because they're falling apart at the seams. Why are they falling apart? The individuals are. Because change was foisted on them. Somebody made a change and they were left behind. The goal is to get back into the relationship, to do whatever you can to get in the relationship with the other person and then to get them to come back to you so that you could dump them. Nobody likes being the dumpy. Everybody wants to be the dumper and not the dumpy. Because if you are, and this is anywhere, if you get a job, you know, you get a job and then suddenly you're fired from the job. You do everything you can to get rehired so that you could quit on your own. You want to do it at your own speed. See, change, you want to be able to make the change and not have the change just happen to you. There are a lot of rules of change. Change is frightening. We resist change, but fear of the unknown can result in clinging to status quo no matter how bad they are. You know how many bad marriages are out there that would so benefit by change? How about you've got children? You got children and the children are there watching this miserable thing that's called love between a husband and a wife. And that thing that's there is what the children are looking at and thinking of as this is what marriage is about. This is what I'm going to have when I grow up. How often would a change have saved the kids? How many of you have parents out there where you wish your parent would have done something to protect you? A lot of you. A lot of you. What does it take for one parent to break the mold and say, no, you're not going to do this. You're not going to do it this way. You're not going to treat my son, my daughter this way. So change is frightening. What do we do about it? Well, the strategy is examine the consequences. One of the things that people do is they resist change, but what you can do is compare all the possible consequences of both your status quo, the way things are, and what you could get as a result of it. If you somehow could review in your mind over and over again the way it would be if you made the change. So you got to have the old behavior and the old situation and the new situation side by side. One does not make you go to the other, but what will happen is by familiarizing your brain with the new situation and saying, ah, if I were free. Now, for example, let's say you're in a relationship that's a toxic relationship. And you say to yourself, this is a good relationship only because I couldn't stand to be alone, which I perfectly understand. What you would have to do is imagine yourself, take some time alone outside of the relationship and build something for yourself. Go outside of your relationship and see what it's like to have something, take a class. Take something that you do independently so you build the concept of aloneness. If you imagine what it's like on the other side, if you imagine what it's like to travel, take short trips so you can familiarize your mind with being away from the safe net. Behaviors are complex. There is nothing that you could do that is as simple as just making a change. There are many, many ways of understanding different behaviors. But remember, nothing is just very simple. It's all complex. Change must be positive. Positive because, you know, Skinner did some early research on reinforcement, not punishment, as opposed to punishment. You know, there's one way to try to get people to change, you punish them. There's another way to get people to change is you reinforce them. And the theory is that reinforcement works so much better than punishment. That's not always true. That's in theory. But, you know, for example, if you have somebody who comes to work and they show up late every day, if you dock them $50 every time they show up, they change. Whereas if you just encourage them and tell them how wonderful they are, whether they show up or not, it doesn't necessarily work. So, being is easier than becoming. In a karate class of 20 students, the instructor yelled, "No pain, no gain." After 4 weeks, only 3 students remained. Uncomfortable change becomes punishing. And rational people don't continue activities that are more painful than they are rewarding. No pain, no gain is silly. You don't have to have pain to have gain, right? You could take baby steps. You could do a little at a time. You could do one goal after another goal after another goal to help with the change. Now, why are we talking so much about change? Because change has a lot of dramatics to it. There's a lot of things to understand about it. You, I am sure, have loads of questions about it. And what I would like to do is a new format, is I would like you to send me your questions on email, since our telephones are not yet working to the point where I could just take your calls. So I'm going to ask you to email me, send me, Armand@thepositivemind.com, your questions related to every program, and I will try to address those programs in either the next or following those questions in the next or following program. Armand@thepositivemind.com, A-R-M-A-N-D, @thepositivemind.com. Change. We're talking about change. Slower is better. Everything has a natural speed. But when change occurs too quickly, you have a reaction on the inside, a body reaction, a mind reaction, slow reaction, established calm. Life is like a stirred up lake. Allow it to calm and the mud will settle, clearing the water, and the same is true for change. Oops, and as things will have it, when you welcome changes and things like that, we get a wonderful visit from Andrea Katz.
Hi, Armand.
How nice that you're coming by here to drop by the center to pick up some the fundraising efforts that we did the other day.
That's the best type of visit to make, picking up the donations.
I don't know. Bringing the pizza is also good.
I've yet to have that pizza that you keep threatening
about.
We keep talking about.
He's in charge of it.
Oh, artichoke really? Pizza.
He's in charge of that.
This is dangerous for me.
It's another level of pizza.
It's another level. He's exactly right.
I don't know if I'm old enough to have that kind of pizza.
Andrea, so we're talking about changes, and of course you have been in the middle of all of the changes that have taken place, and I've talked about how change is necessary, was certainly necessary here at WBAI and leading to something new. The changes that you've seen shift now, you're now bringing in a couple of new programs?
Let's talk
about those for a minute. I thought that was great.
Yeah, we brought in a couple of new segments basically because the first one, which is Bike Talk, I got the idea last year because with the onset of the launching of the City Bike program, plus myself being a biker and very involved with transportation alternatives, and that, you know, that's the transportation of the future, and to bring in more younger people. And so I approached a group of bike activists, and we actually have Paul Steely White as one of the producers for that show as well, who's a little bit older than the rest of the crew, but is the executive director of Transportation Alternatives, who are the organization that's been responsible for all the bike lanes in New York, which you may either love or you may be annoyed by.
Or what we've been talking, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah.
Finish what you're saying.
That's all.
Or one of the things that we're talking about is the difference between transition and change. Transition is a mental approach. Now, I can see all the bike lanes and they get in my way sometimes.
Right.
And sometimes they're inconvenient for me. But if you go through Central Park, which is a beautiful thing, on what's called Central Park Drive, you now see five lanes, which used to be just car lanes. Now there's a lane for the horse and buggies. There's a lane for the rickshaws. I call them rickshaws, the guys
right,
on bicycles.
Bicycle
right.
Cats,
there's another
right.
lane for people walking uptown, another lane for people walking downtown. There's six lanes. There's another lane for bikers, people on bikes, another lane for runners, and another lane for cars. And now this is seven lanes in a small distance, and it's amazing how well it worked.
Actually, I was in the park during the Five Borough Bike Tour, and the sound of the bicycles, you don't realize that bicycles do make sound. It's nothing like a car, for sure. But it's just a very different experience of New York to be in the middle of Manhattan and be in this quiet, peaceful, really terrific area.
So change works. Now, here you are in the middle of an enormous change, right? WBAI.
Right.
Enormous. It affects every aspect of your life, right? It means what you're going to be doing. And you've flowed with it so far.
So far, so good.
That's why I sent you the kudos.
Thank you. But, you know, one of the things that I say jokingly about WBAI, and it is with humor, that we're not a progressive station. We're actually a very conservative station because a lot of people attached to it would like things not only to not change, but to go sort of back a few decades.
But
you know?
Can fully understand that.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
So natural
absolutely.
To want to do
yes,
that.
Yes, and a sense of ownership about something that you've committed yourselves to. I'm a listener since 1972 to WBAI, even though I look so young. But and myself personally, I've been through many, many changes in my life. Divorces, changes of jobs, totally blew up my life when I turned 50. Changed my career, changed my location. And not a lot of people have the sense that that's an okay thing to do. It's very threatening. And one of the things I learned as an administrator many years ago, I was in charge of many schools out on Long Island in a school district. And one of the things I found when I sit down with my staff, that some people accept change in a very, okay, what's next kind of way. Some people right away, negative, we can't do this, we can't do that, you know, how. And then there's the people who are sort of in the middle of, well, how will this happen and how will that happen? And it's basically helping people to feel safe through change because it's very, very uncomfortable, and our natural inclination in life is to seek comfort.
Well, you can't get people to feel very safe if you get on the radio and say, we're firing everybody.
Yeah,
you don't get a chance for them to get safe. Sometimes you got to deal with it that way also.
Well, I've been fired several times in my life. I know how it feels. It's a horrific feeling. In my own experience, I always have the phrase, you know, that, you know, I'll figure it out. I'll figure it out.
You see, you now know? That's what Julian was just saying. That's what happens in our mind. I'll get through this. If you have that kind of mind, if you have a mind that's holding on because it's holding on for safety, for dear life, with everything that's familiar, it can't do it as well. So those who are lucky who could go through change, and many people suffer through change, and it's just the way it is. I cannot advise the people who suffer going through change. I can't give them any advice because they need to go through the suffering. It's like a cleansing.
Going through it. That doesn't mean that, you know, one of the reasons I live in New York is because I can cry wherever I am. If I'm walking down the street, I'm sitting in the subway, nobody cares, you know?
Good for you.
Crying is very, very helpful. Doing exercise is helpful. Really taking care of yourself. Sometimes doing nothing.
See, the other side of it is, yes, we got advice. But, you know, and if you can't, and you got to go through depression, you got to go through the bottom, through it. You know,
absolutely. This
you got us around
absolutely.
To whisper. Yes, and you always tune into WBAI and hear a familiar voice.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Or new friends.
Or new friends that are coming in.
But I think what you're saying is very valid. We want to shy away from being depressed and being sad. And, you know, everybody, like even you,
I'm not saying that.
No, but you said to me, it's a good thing you have that way of thinking. Doesn't, you know, I also think of the oven and the ledge, you know, which one am I going to choose next? So I think, you know, you go through all these different phases like anything else.
I think depression is something that just may be a familiar friend for many people.
Yes.
And if you got to go through it, go through it. Try not to drag too many people with you.
Right. In Buddhism, we call it the second arrow. The depression's bad enough, but then don't try to do things that will add more to your pain.
Isn't that wonderful? Andrea, thank you for coming by this wonderful moment
while
we're in the middle of doing our programming.
Okay.
We will continue and take the money down to the station.
I will. Thank you so much again.
They did a good job.
You did a good job.
They did a good job.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. And talking about changes, we're going to take a break, a change in itself. Now, usually during the break, I play you music that's meant to get you to think or integrate whatever we were talking about right before then. It's not just picked arbitrarily. So when we come back, we'll continue with this discussion.
Time now, baby. after a while, going through mine won't be mine. One of these days, babe, I'm moaning, droning, babe, trying, trying. Won't be long, long, thing gonna change. Sometime in the middle of the night, I get so lonely, so lonely, so lonely. Thing gonna change, thing gonna change. Change, change, change. Thing gonna change. Further on up the road, babe, thing gonna change. Change, change, change. Change, change. Change, baby. Your time now, baby. But after a while, it's gonna be my time, baby. Thing gonna change. Change, change, change. Change, change, change. Thing gonna change. Yes, it is.
And we're back with you. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind with Julian Joiello. We're talking about transitions and changes, some of the changes, the remarkable things that have gone on here at WBAI, many of which you'll be hearing, new stuff coming around. But I'd like to introduce something to you about the stages of change. And this has to do with anything, divorce, death, anything, anything that's a change, a radical change. And I want to go back to using Kubler-Ross's five stages of change. Kubler-Ross presented a thing about death, and she said, you know, when people are dying and when they go through death, or when somebody dies, there are five stages that we all go through. Now, these were used just for dealing with death, but I think these are very applicable to understanding yourself. The stages are denial, anger, bargaining, acceptance, depression. All of those. Denial. First thing that happens, somebody dies, you lose something, you're missing something. The first thing you want to do is not recognize its loss. You want to say that doesn't exist. That's the beginning. A second phase is anger. You get angry at someone who dies. Why would you get angry at someone who dies? It makes no sense whatsoever, right? They died. How do you get angry? Because they left you. Because there's a piece of us that does not like change. And change, when it's foisted on us, we don't like. So one of the things that we do in treatment when people get depressed following a loss of some kind is we look to activate the anger. Now, this makes no sense. Imagine somebody comes to you and they say, I feel terrible. My father just died. And they're depressed. What I want to do is get you angry at your father. Now, that doesn't make any sense. The last thing in the world you want to do is get angry at your father because you loved him so much and now he's dead and you don't want to do that. But the reason I want to get you angry is I want to get you out of your depression. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying to you, you have a right to resent somebody changing something, no matter what it is. And when you try to get that to the inside of people, the child inside people, until they can get to the point where they can say, I am angry at you for leaving me, the depression lingers. When they can get to that, the depression lifts. So if you think about then, there's another stage of depression. There's another stage of dealing with the loss, which has to do with acceptance, where you accept the fact that it all took place. And then, of course, there is the depression that some people go into. Oh, and then there's bargaining. Bargaining is such an interesting thing. We all go through that. At some point, we try to make a deal. We hear that if only I do this, then maybe it won't happen. Let's say you hear you've got some kind of an illness. You try to make a deal. If only I eat good food, I won't have this illness. How does this relate to regular transitions and change, such as what the station are going through right now? Right, for many years, WBAI, for many years, people were in denial. There's no change taking place. It's all the same. We're not going to redoes it. I don't want to recognize it. I don't want to look at it. I have seen the changes going on for many years. I'm not in denial of it. I've seen it. I've seen factions fighting factions, and I refuse to believe any one over another because I saw them just as fighting with each other over the same silly things, but not in a cooperative way. Now I see a different level of cooperation. I have seen the anger that's buried. There is so much buried anger in change, especially in something like a media change or in a job. I mean, how do you, if they change your position, what do you do with your anger? Well, people turn it against themselves, and instead they get depressed. No, I recommend allowing your anger to be felt. Now, you can't go telling your boss you're angry at him. But you could go into your own house, take a tennis racket and whack the hell out of a pillow and say, I'm angry, and it'll certainly relieve you. Recognize your anger. Don't let it manifest at work because it's inappropriate. But feeling the anger will take away the depression. And very often, people who work, who are demoted, who get money taken away from them, they go into this depressive place, which kind of reinforces the people who did that to you. They said, you see, they couldn't handle it anyway. The people they want to work for them are the people who could recover. The people who recover best are the people who get angry and allow themselves to recognize their own anger. Good information, right? Acceptance. If you can accept a shift as it takes place, that means you're going through the psychological condition of transition and you're allowing the transitions to take place. This applies to every loss. Going back to relationships, a husband leaves, a wife leaves, a boyfriend leaves, a girlfriend leaves. These mate leavings are so difficult. It is so difficult for a person to go through these changes. Of all changes, these are the most difficult. In a way, you have to grieve them, each one. You just don't say, I'm going to get over it, I'm going to deny it, it's not going to exist. You have to grieve them. And grieving them is accepting the death of them, accepting the anger. When I get people coming to me as a result of a breakup in a relationship, and they're deeply depressed, which many of them are, suicidal in some cases, the thing I do is I help them get angry. I help them recognize and see their anger, and when they could do that, they feel better, and they are more powerful. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. We're talking about transitions and changes.
So there's all this change, but how much of this has to do with control?
Control itself, the issue of control, big issue. I mean, don't we all want to have control over our lives? Isn't one of the worst feelings that we have is that somebody else is controlling us? So we want to be able to have control over our lives, and we work very hard at getting control to happen. getting control of our things. I think you're right, Julian. I think a lot of this, in one form or another, is our way of maintaining our sense of control.
So is that anger? Does that power lead to control? Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm. Good. Well, you make a very important point there. First, it's a feeling of power. Being able to be aggressive as opposed to being powerless is very important in making you feel better. So when you feel powerless and you can't, you know, you're at the mercy of everybody, that feels terrible. If, on the other hand, you can experience any form of power, power is important, and it's, do you feel power or powerless? Almost every bad feeling comes from powerlessness. Almost every time you could ask yourself, if you're feeling bad, ask yourself, where do I feel powerless? When it comes to change, you see yourself as powerless. You do not see the opportunity to integrate the change into your life. And for some people, there is no way you could do it. There's just no way it fits in, because it doesn't fit in. If you have no power, you feel bad. You feel bad. And if you're fired from a job and you have no place to go, you feel bad. Can I tell you what you're going to do to feel better? No, except to accept that this is not a fault of yours. Now, you see, here's the trick of it about losing control and powerlessness. When you start blaming yourself, when you start putting yourself down for the changes that have taken place, when you say, I got myself fired, I did this to myself, if it's not a learning experience, you see, I would see, well, I got fired. Maybe there was something I was doing wrong. Maybe coming into work an hour late every day doesn't work. All right, I'll try that for the future. It didn't work this time. Or I got fired because I come in an hour late. Those rats, they should feel grateful to me because I worked twice as hard. It doesn't get you anywhere. The resentment of them, looking at yourself. So looking at yourself as creating your own problems is the best if you're not putting yourself down for it, but not self-criticism. Self-criticism doesn't do anything except lead to depression, and depression rarely leads to an integration of change. Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. I was hoping that today, coming back with you guys, we get a chance to, it's so nice to present you with some of this material. You know, a lot of study goes on about the different changes that take place through midlife crisis and through menopause. These are automatic changes. You know, adolescence, another change, many changes that are initiated by hormonal shifts. How do we deal with those, and how are we supposed to deal with those? It seems that some people deal with them better than other people. What makes for the flexibility to deal with it better than other people? I mean, if you just think about, for example, midlife crisis. For some people, it's a real crisis. For other people, they see that as an opportunity to play. If you think about menopause, menopause is usually a pretty horrible experience for most women who go through it. But when they go through it, it's a strange thing. If they go through it as part of a team, a group of women, like I have a friend, Cherry Quincy, up in California, who she gathers the women going through menopause into a sweat lodge, and she finds by the women being together, their symptoms abate. The symptoms go away. They don't seem to have them as much, and they don't suffer so much with the changes. So since there are so many built into life, so many changes, transitions that are built into life, we must have a mechanism for adapting. Do you know that when a person dies, there are seven forms of worms that are born inside the body to help carry your body into the soil? They're called maggots. I mean, that sounds disgusting, but they are called maggots. And so we have something sitting inside our body ready for the shift that takes place when we die. It doesn't get used any other time. There are actual genes inside of us that were only used for death. There are other genes that are only used for birth. So when you're born, you got one genetic structure and you've got some instincts that tell you to do a certain thing, like breathe, like, you know, get through, like grow your skin, like do things like that. And then once you're done with that, boom, you're done with those, but they stay inside your body. And then we have the death ones waiting for you. So when you die, you have transitional genes. So there is something that goes through every one of us. There is, if you lose a leg, you've got a transitional gene for losing legs. You have ways of getting through, if only you could wait for those things to show up. Life transition is this term, this idea. It's a general psychological term that is an expansion on the original idea of this midlife crisis. So many people go through this in their early 40s. In attempt to chart the major changes in a person's life as they grow, such as childhood to adulthood, from school to work, from single life to married life. The process of life transition theory, this became a whole theory, life transition theory, right? Also includes point of crisis in the lives of individuals due to divorce, is one, the death of someone close, the loss of a career. Now, these three are giant things, right? Death of someone close to you, divorce, and actually they say changing a house is another huge one, just shifting a house. Each set of major life transitions offer unique opportunities and challenges for any individual to adapt and see themselves in his or her place in society in a new life. The problem is the following: when we only see it as tragic. So those of us who have to see it as a tragic loss, which it is. I want you to think about something. A friend of mine came to me the other day. We were playing, and we like to play with our minds. And he said, oh, I wish that person would get better. I hope they get healthier. And I said, would you give the pinky on your left hand up for them to get better? And he thought about it. He said, I could get by without the pinky on my left hand. Yes. And for a moment there, he had to go through the transition of imagining what it would be like to give up your pinky on your left hand for things to get better. Consider that yourself, my friends. Consider that, right? Pinky on your left hand. Could you spare it if it would lead you to something wonderful? You know, if it would help save someone's life, help save, you know, the person you know who's depressed, it will help them get better. Did you give up the pinky on your left hand? Julian's looking at me weird. He's not going to give up the pinky on his left hand too easily, I could see.
I'd have to, you know, use it a bunch right before.
You have to use your, have to use your pinky. I'm going out pinky partying. Every life transition involves an element of increased stress. Whether it forces positive or negative change, there's going to be increased stress. It's due to the fact that the individual is facing a set of circumstances that is largely unknown on a personal level, regardless of the fact that there are many others have gone through it. When you go through something new, it increases stress, and stress will lead to a whole psychological adaptation. Researchers have found that the level of stress reaches a crisis point about 6 months after a major transition has occurred. So it doesn't happen immediately. If someone dies, 6 months later, you get the reaction. Divorce, 6 months later, the reaction. So I know a lot of women who are in the single life, men and women who are in the single life dating, you know, and they date somebody who says he just got divorced. And they, the wise ones say, if this is only 6 months old, I'm not going to be with you. I don't want to go be with you while you go through this. And the person who got the divorce says, oh, no, I'm fine. Boom, then the truck seems to hit you somewhere around 6 months after, 6 months to 2 years. Transitions also extend beyond the effects of the core event and change an individual's life in other profound ways. As we each have different coping skills, a life transition can be unexpectedly easy or difficult. Sometimes you find yourself easy, giving up smoking, right? You smoke, and then one day you just give it up. Major transition you go through, and sometimes it's easy. Sometimes you're just ready for it. Most of the times you're not ready for it if it's foisted on you, if it comes to you. So what do we do about this, and how do we adjust to this? Well, here's the idea: curiosity. My favorite tool, the thing that saved me my whole life, is curiosity. I have been curious about what comes next. When we first heard that the WBAI was going to go through major changes, I didn't know if they were going to announce we got to close the station. I couldn't imagine it, but I didn't know if they were going to announce that or not. And the response to that would be, okay, let's get ready. We're going to have to do some internet broadcasting. We're going to have so on and so forth. We're going to take the other jobs we were offered and be on radio or not do radio. Whatever it would be, but let's see where the next step takes us. Meaning me, talking to the many of me's that I have around having conversations with. And this is where I stand right now. Let's see. Let's watch this. Let's feel this one through. Let's give feedback. The place where you could be helpful to the station is to give them feedback as to what you see. But please, don't be just reacting to the change. Don't be screaming and saying, you know, this is, you've got to bring back the old, bring back the old, bring back. I mean, you could do that. That, of course, you have a right to do that. Just scream, holler, revolution, I'll join you, we'll go in together, we'll take over the station. But if not that, watch the changes that are taking place and give feedback. If you hear stuff that you don't like, if you hear stuff that offends you, write a polite letter to the station or send it to me and I'll make sure it gets to people. You know, you have Andrew Phillips, who's there now, put out his website. He said, andrew@wbai.org. Right? Send him a mail before his mailbox gets full. But give us your feedback. Let us know what you feel. Because this is the way the change and the transition will take place and will bring us to a new growing place. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m., my friends. We are here to bring you wonderful stuff, ideas, concepts, help you lead a more positively minded life. Oh, if you wanted to send me an email, send it to armand@thepositivemind.com, or you could go to the website at thepositivemind.com, or go, if you want to hear this program, you could also go to WBAI's website and listen to it in the archives. Okay, so I want to thank Julian Joyella for being with me, especially here and helping me research today's subject. Julian, once again.
Thank you.
You need a program. I want a petition for Julian Joyello to represent the intelligence hierarchy of the 20-year-old world.
Sounds good to me.
That sounds good, right? Yeah. You're a smart man. We'll be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m., my friends. Thank you very much for tuning in. See you soon. Bye-bye.
say the last one again. You can't do that. Just say, see you soon.
We'll be back with you again tomorrow, my friends, bringing you some other important, remarkable stuff. There's actually one program I wanted to bring you and I was scheduled to bring you and I may just do it. Back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m., my friends.
With the granting of the law of provenation comes the application of change. I will give you the key. And with this knowledge, please realize, comes the responsibility of sharing it. I will show you the way. It's very simple. Thoughts produce actions. Look at what you are thinking. Realize that the one thing you have absolute control over is your attitude. See the effect that it has on those around you. For each life is linked to all life, and your words carry with them chain reactions. Like a stone that is thrown into a pond. If you truly want to change your world, my friend, you must change your thinking. Reason is your greatest tool. It creates an atmosphere of understanding which leads to caring, which is love. Choose your words with care.
I'm not some kind of Superman, I'm just trying to find who I am and get my future planned. Don't know where I'm from, don't know what my aim is, don't know where I'm going, don't wanna be famous, don't wanna be that guy. I need privacy but can't be low-key, cause it isn't me. Get pulled both ways and it tears me apart. Seems for years I've been wearing these masks, one to myself, another to the multitude. Now I'm confused with which one of those is true. In bed alone lying myself, I realized I was lying to myself. Now I'm here, finding myself, the truth's out there, I'ma find it myself. Forget going on a holiday, bruv, I just wanna change
everything.
I wish that I could make a happy song, but I'm depressed and I don't wanna carry on. I don't know what you've been told, G, but no one alive truly knows me. Forget rapping, I should find a job, I need direction, maybe a sign from God. I'm tortured, the pain's tormenting my soul, got friends, but I just can't pretend I'm alone. I'm haunted by regrets and mistakes, and every day I'm just testing my fate. Like a boxer that loves throwing rights at them, but doctors warn him he'll die if he fights again. Sometimes it feels like the weight of the world is on my shoulders, but that's just the way of the world. It's getting colder, it's too cold, don't know much, but I do know
everything.
I've made music that made my mum cry. Bruv, tell me what happens when the love dies. Don't even recognize my own face sometimes. Don't wanna stay around now, but I must try. Someone somewhere might understand. I just don't wanna give my life to the fans. I'm trying to do more than just be real in order to rebuild.
Everything must change.
Trying to survive today and live my life in a righteous way. So gotta watch what I decide to say. My pride's at stake, don't wanna be described as fake. My mind states irate and I'm wide awake, but I need sleep and it's kind of late. Don't wanna give them a reason to despise and hate. So I'm trying to change
everything.
All around me my people's dying, all being controlled by evil tyrants. Lives lost due to needless violence. Look to the sky cause I need some guidance, but it feels like nothing helps. Gotta watch for my sister and my mum as well. Every day it feels like I'm stuck in hell. I guess this is sort of how my brother felt. See, just gotta hold on, hope for the best, prepare for the worst, cause nothing is promised. All I know is
everything must change.